Praise the Lord, saints. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Truly, we are here. We're here to honor my parents, Pastor Perkins, First Lady Perkins. We're here to honor them, but we are also here to honor the Lord. So we want to make sure we give God praise. So I'm here to introduce my husband, Elder Dr. Carl Carter. Amen. He is a husband of one wife. Amen. Anybody knows about Elder Carter, he's just a good person. He really is. And he has been good since I met him. I remember when we met at Fisk, he was giving everybody rides from the airport. Everybody. And I was like, and one day I overheard somebody say, oh, I got a ride. Because he was just good. Whatever he has, he will give to anyone, and he is a hard worker. I remember telling my grandma, I would call her, my grandmother's passed on, Sister Annie Mary, but I would call her and talk to her, and I would say, Grandma, he's done everything. It's only 9:00. I said, I feel so bad, but he's cut the grass. He's painted the wall. I mean, he does. You look up, you're like, I don't even know how he does it. Like, he just goes all day long. But he's always willing to lend a helping hand, and just a man of God everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes, he is a man of God. He is a good father to our children. He is a good husband. He's a good friend, a good brother, and he is a faithful member. So I want to tell the Abundant Life Living Word Church, thank you all for coming out today. Thank you all for supporting, and thank you for just being a blessing to our family. But I want you all to know he is a mighty man of God. He does have a word from the Lord. So I hope you are ready to hear and receive the word of God that he has on tonight. So what I'm going to ask everybody to do, if you could just put your hand up and say, God, sing your word. God, sing your word. And reach over here to Elder Carter and say, Elder Carter, preach the word. Elder Carter, preach the word. Amen. Let's give God some praise.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord again. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord again. We're going to try that again. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord again. Now I know with all this Holy Ghost in this room, we can do better than that. I said, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord again. Do we have anybody in here that God's been good to? Anybody here that can testify to the goodness of the Lord? Can you just lift your hand just for a moment and give God the fruit of your lips? Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. We give God praise today. Amen. We give God praise. God has been a good God. I count it an honor and a privilege to be here. Amen. We give honor to our honorees, Pastor Perkins, First Lady Perkins. Amen. So many wonderful tributes have been shared, and I can go into a lot of stories, but I remember the first time I met y'all, and I'll be honest, y'all hadn't aged much, and that's been 20-something years. But I thank God for you all, and I pray that what's been given will be a blessing to you all. I know the work in the vineyard is hard, amen, but I just thank God for just the opportunity to stand before you. I love y'all with all my heart, amen. I never will forget when Sister Rhea and I were dating, and Rhea's right. I remember one night I had just met her and her parents. And we were coming home late from a movie, so we were trying to, it was a Saturday night, right? You know, her father preaches, and so we walk in, they were trying to sneak, you know, get in the door easy, you know. Sure enough, Dad was sitting right there preparing. And he just had that look, and I was like, let me just ease on back out of here. But I thank God for them. They have always, like Rhea said, always been consistent, always been faithful representatives of God, so we appreciate you. I love you from the bottom of my heart. Amen. And obviously, we want to give honor to our pastor, Bishop A.E. Harris, in his absence. Amen. Give God praise for him, like Lady Harris. Amen. Want to honor them today. Thank God for all the songs, the praise team, the musicians. Amen. Everybody's done such a wonderful job here today. was able to hear my brother, Elder Coleman, preach this morning. Amen. Just laid the truth down flat. Amen. So we're going to let the Lord have his way here. But it certainly is an honor and a privilege to be before you all today. And also want to give honor to my wife, Rhea Carter. Amen. We are swiftly approaching our 18th wedding anniversary. Y'all didn't catch it. I said I've known them 20 years. Right. Yeah. So we thankful for you. Thankful for all the years. It's been a blessing. God has blessed us with three beautiful children. And so we give God praise today. Amen. And if I forgot anybody, charge it to my head and not my heart. Amen. So we're going to get right into the message. If you would stand to your feet and turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Mark, chapter 14. And we will start reading at verse 32. And we'll read down to verse 36. And then after Mark, we will jump to Joshua 24. I feel like I'm at home, amen? Can I be myself today? Do I have permission to be myself? Mark 14, starting at verse 32, reads, "And they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt." Quickly, if we can turn to Joshua 24, verse 15. Very, very familiar passage of scripture. As a matter of fact, we have this scripture on the wall in our home. Joshua 24, 15 reads, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we thank you for even this evening being able to celebrate years of work in the vineyard. Lord, we thank you for the work, Lord, of Pastor Perkins, Lord God, and his wife and his family. And we just pray right now, Lord, that you would use me, God. Speak through me today, Lord God. Let your will be done, Lord. We rebuke every barrier to the flow of the anointing. God, let your will be done tonight, Lord. And we give you the praise right now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, amen. You may have your seats. Look at somebody, say, when trouble comes. When trouble comes. It's interesting when we talk about trouble. Trouble is something that we all have experience with. Nobody is exempt from trouble. I wish that were the case. Elder Brasher, I wish that when we got saved, we were exempt from trouble. I wish that when I got out of the water and after receiving the Holy Ghost, I wish that that gave me a trouble exempt card, and that when trouble came my way, I would simply flash my card like it were my freedom papers, so to speak, and say, look, I got my real ID and my trouble exempt card. But I found out that was not the case. Nobody in this life, at least, is not exempt from trouble, whether we're saved or not saved. Trouble is something that we've all experienced from the smallest to the greatest. The oldest of us experience trouble to a certain degree. And the youngest of us experience some level of trouble. I looked up trouble in the Webster's Dictionary, and one of the words that they used to describe trouble was a disturbance. trouble can be disturbing, things that you deal with that you didn't plan on. There are things that we all have to face that we didn't plan for. It wasn't our, we didn't wake up this morning saying that I want to get in a car wreck today. When I got hit with by the 18-wheeler, I wasn't planning on that. I was simply coming home from work trying to get home to my children. Unbeknownst to me, an individual in the 18-wheeler decides not to use his brakes. There goes trouble. All of us experience some degree of trouble in our lives. Some of us have experienced trouble when we were children. Some of us have grown up in neighborhoods where we couldn't escape the trouble even if we wanted to. You know, we were lived around people where trouble was just a part of the nature, part of the culture. I remember growing up, and I grew up in Chicago, for those who don't know, and there was this big murder that happened right behind my grandmother's house. Trouble. I wasn't expecting trouble. I remember when I was in first grade, they were trying to recruit me into the gang. I didn't know what they were talking about. Trouble. I'm just trying to use the bathroom. I'm just trying to make sure that I don't have an accident. Amen. But trouble has a way of finding where you are. And here's the thing about trouble. Nobody likes trouble. Let me sign up for some trouble, has no one has said. No one has said, Lord, you know what? Lord, if you don't have nobody to let some trouble come by their doorstep, Lord, sign me up. Like, no one has said that. And nobody enjoys dealing with an inconvenience or whatever degree the trouble is. For some of us, it's been tragedy. We've lost people that we didn't intend on losing. We expected that they would have been continuing to been around. But for whatever reason, they are gone. So for us, we've experienced that trouble. And it's something that we all at some point, if you haven't experienced that yet, you'll experience that. But one thing about trouble is that God can bring you through some trouble. One thing I have learned is sometimes you think it's so much trouble that you're not able to bear it. But what we know from the scriptures is that he won't put no more on you than you're able to bear. And sometimes you feel like, God, it's so much trouble. I must be real strong because I'm dealing with a whole lot of trouble. But one thing we know about God, he won't overwhelm you with so much trouble that you can't. Now, you might think it's too much, but God knows your real strength and he knows you can handle it. Just hang on in there. So this trouble, nobody likes trouble. Nobody wants to experience that. Nobody wants to go through anything that's going to inconvenience you. Nobody wants to wait. Nobody wants to be in a position where we're dependent on God to bring us out of anything, because we all want things immediately. A lot of times we talk about this generation, we call it the microwave generation. Well, we say, well, the microwave generation is this newbie group, if you haven't heard. Well, everything is so instant that they expect everything instantly. But let's be honest, even before the microwave generation, we wanted stuff instantly. We didn't really want to wait for anything. We wanted to pray and God do it just then. For some of us, we want to come to the altar, get prayer, and instantly that trouble just disappears. And I wish that were the case. I wish, amen, I had the anointing in my hand to pray the trouble off of you, but I found out it does not work that way. Amen. This morning we learned that what is the cost? We got to count up the cost. And part of being saved is there's a cost to being that. The Bible says if any man live godly, he shall suffer persecution. And some of the trouble we've been dealing with is because of the fact that we have made our calling and election sure. We chose God, and so for some of us, that's where some of the trouble came, because we decided to make a stand and say, you know what, I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to do these other things that are pulling and tugging at me, which for some of us has made us stand out among the crowd, which therefore caused some trouble. Nobody wants to not blend in. So what a lot of us do is we cower to the peer pressure and we just blend in. It's like, well, okay, I'll just go along with it, because we're afraid of the trouble. But trouble is something that we all deal with. And some of us, through the trouble, we've learned to kind of mask the pain of the trouble. We've gone through trouble so long, we've learned to go in the corner and cry. We've learned to go in the office and we'll go in the closet and wipe our tears. We learn to put on our faces and make it seem like we're not going through anything. But the reality is we all experience trouble. We see from the scriptures how people that in the Bible have experienced trouble. We could look at Job. Now, there are some that would have you to believe that if you're experiencing some trouble, that you have fallen out of the will of God. And I'm here to tell you that is not the case at all, because we can look at Job and the Bible says that Job was upright and feared God. But you know what happened? The Bible says that when the sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord, it says Satan came also. How many know that for some of you, you've been living right, minding your own business? Look at somebody say, minding my own business. And trouble found me because Satan brought my name up. And so what had happened was Job was minding his business. He had, I think it was 7 sons, 3 daughters. He was doing well. God had blessed him. Things were running like a fine, well-oiled machine. And all of a sudden, here comes the devil. And he comes to God and he says, does Job serve God for naught? You put this hedge around, I can't get to him. And so y'all know the story. Y'all been in church for a while. God allowed some trouble to come to Job's door. Now, if it was up to what some church folk think, Job had fallen out of the will of God. And we can see in the scriptures how his friends came around just looking at him like, Job, you must have done something. And some of us have experienced that. And some of us might be dealing with that right now, where you're dealing with some trouble and you got some friends just standing around. And you know you've done something. Now, you're not telling us the whole truth. What is it that you've done? There's no reason for you to be experiencing this much trouble. But we see from Job that that can happen because of your righteous lifestyle, where God will allow some persecution to happen because the Lord trusts the fact that you're going to go through it and not allow whatever the devil brings to cause you to turn away from God. And so I'm here to tell somebody, if you're experiencing trouble and you know you've been living right, I'm here to encourage you. Listen, if you're going through it, God knew you were going to be able to bear it. He's not going to put any more on you than able to bear. He knew when it was going to happen and who was going to happen to and the circumstances. And it's not something that caught God by surprise. He, matter of fact, gave the devil permission. That's the only reason why it was even able to happen. So we see Job, and God allowed this to happen. Now, y'all know the story. This was bad, right? Job, all his cattle and oxen were killed, slaughtered. He lost his 7 sons, his 3 daughters, whole family gone. The devil had gotten permission to touch his body. He had boils all over his body. He had to sit there and watch his friends sit there and look at him like something was wrong with him. But I thank God for that story in the Bible, because what it tells us is even though trouble cometh, and y'all have heard this preached several times, you can, if you make it through it, amen, if you stand fast and see what God is able to do, he'll give you double for your trouble, amen. It might not look like it did before, but God can give you, amen, something when you come out of it, amen. Despite what you're going through, despite the trouble, God is able to bring you out. I love the story of Job, because Job has gone through debatably more than anybody that I'm aware of. Amen. Imagine losing all 7 sons, 3 daughters. Imagine the grief. He had to grieve and at the same time serve God. He grieved and served God. And I have to say this point, and it's a little bit of a tearjerker, but I have watched this couple. I have watched them go to funerals. I've watched them deal with grief and loss, but they stayed consistent. They served God. They kept preaching. They kept teaching. Amen. They've lost their son. Amen. But they kept preaching. They kept teaching. They stayed consistent. Amen. Through the loss of their parents, through the loss of siblings, they stayed consistent. They kept preaching. Amen. They were an example of how you can experience trouble, but yet still give God a praise. Hallelujah. So I'm here to tell somebody, if you're having an issue giving God praise, amen, just look at the examples that we shared. And if they can be consistent and give God praise, surely we can lift our hands because somebody didn't like our Facebook page. Surely we can give God praise and lift our hands just because, you know, we might not have gotten the compliment we thought we were going to get because we wore that one outfit and we thought we were so cute. Surely we can continue to give God praise. Amen. When we look at examples of people that have gone through severe tragedy yet stay consistent with their praise. Listen, I'm telling you, Job is a good example, but I'm telling you, I have watched my in-laws. I have watched them go to funeral after funeral. A close family. I'm talking like extended. I'm talking about close, but yet still stay faithful in the church and consistent. They were strong. I mean, I have seen them go through trouble. Amen. When trouble comes, it's not the time to throw in the towel. That's not the time to say, you know what, God, I don't know if I can fight anymore. That's not the time to tap out and be like, well, God, I can't do it no more because this is overwhelming and this is too much. But when trouble comes, that's the time when you have to do like David sometime and encourage yourself in the Lord. And unfortunately, sometimes you might not have a prayer partner available that's there to touch and agree with you. So a lot of times, God, that's actually you the place where God wants you to be. And as a matter of fact, some of you might be in that place today where you in a place where you don't have nobody to encourage you. So you're going to have to learn how to encourage yourself in the Lord. And I'm here to tell you the trouble ain't going nowhere. Amen. But God is saying, listen, I'm reaching out to you. This is part humble. This is the cost. Amen. To being my child. He said, I need you to know that through tragedy, through trouble, I can be your God. You are my child. I want you to reach out to me, that person that you thought was going to be your prayer partner or whatever, your lifeline. He said, I'm your lifeline. I'm dependent. I want you to know me. Part of the trouble is God wants you, amen, to spend more time with him. See, a lot of times when we go through, sometimes it takes some serious trouble for us to get down on our knees. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to have to go through trouble for me to have to get on my knees. But I want to go ahead and bow down to the Lord and give God praise and worship and say, God, I love you, God. I appreciate you, God. I give you all the glory, all the honor, and the praise. Hallelujah. And even in spite, like the three Hebrew boys, and even if he don't do it, I'm still going to bow to you, Lord. But God, you've been good to me. God, you've been caring for me. God, and I love you with all my heart. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to encourage somebody from trouble. Amen. Trouble is a real thing. We all deal with it. Amen. We got lots of different examples. Another example of a person in the Bible who was minding their own business was Joseph. Joseph was minding his own business, Brother Brash. He made the one mistake, though, is he shared his dream with his brothers. And then when he did that, he caused trouble because he put out what God was going to do to his brothers. And guess what his brothers did? They conspired to get rid of him, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. And y'all know the story. He went on to Egypt and was in prison and went through all kinds of trouble. But how many of you know God knew what he had a plan at the end of what he was doing with Joseph? Now, in the temporary, that trouble seemed bad. In the temporary, the trouble seemed bad, but God had the ultimate plan. What am I saying? There may be somebody out here tonight. Temporarily, you're in a situation that looks pretty bad. Temporarily, you're in a situation that's real inconvenient. Temporarily, God has you in a place, in a transition. In a transition between a rock and a hard place that doesn't feel real good. But I'm here to tell you, if you could just stand right there and watch and wait and see what God has for you. Just like God did it for Joseph, just like he did it for Job, God can do it for you. I'm here to tell you the Bible, God is not a respecter of persons. And if he would do it for them, he would do it for you. Amen. You just got to make it through the trouble. Amen. You just got to make it through and connect with God through this process. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another person we can look at is we can look at Jesus, and he was, amen, our example of what we should be. And the Bible says that he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That is exactly what the word says. It says he was, amen, a despised. It says in Isaiah 53, he is despised and rejected of men. Anybody been rejected of men before? It says a man of sorrows. Anybody had felt sorrow before? It says he was acquainted with grief. And the Bible says, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Now, if Jesus can deal with grief and trouble, amen, ain't nobody in here no better than Jesus. Amen. So I think we can make it through the trouble that we're going through. Amen. Jesus was our example. He went through grief, but one thing we can see from Jesus is his trouble had a purpose. And had they not despised him, had they not crucified him, we wouldn't be where we are today. But God had to allow the trouble. He had to allow the Pharisees to conspire to kill him in order for him to be crucified. Listen, Jesus died and bled on a cross. Amen. Think about that when those days and you kind of in your feelings and you don't want to give God praise. Think about how Jesus died on a cross. They nailed 7-inch nails in his feet. They put 7-inch nails in his hands. Amen. They put a crown of thorns in his head. They flogged him. Well, they pulled flesh off his body, muscle and skin off of him. He had to carry a 75-pound cross up to Golgotha's hill. And y'all know, y'all heard this before. When he died, he had to cut, when he was on the cross, he died from asphyxiation because as he was trying to inhale and exhale, his body became full of carbonic acid, which caused asphyxiation. Amen. Now, the truth of the matter is, he would not have died except he gave up the ghost. Amen. Because he had no sin in him. How many thankful for a Savior that have no sin in him? But I thank God for a Savior that was willing to go through, that God was willing to come down and come walk in human flesh to die for me and for you. How many know he saw me when he was on the cross? How many know he saw you when he was on the cross? I thank God he saw my Keisha when he was on the cross. And he saw Sister Scott when he was on the cross. He saw Brooke Brasher when he was on the cross. Amen. He saw us on the cross. So he went through trouble so that we can have access to the kingdom of God. He went through and endured, amen, his trouble so that we can have partaking, can partake of salvation. And so I give God praise, amen. But I will say, amen, it is motivating to me, because if Jesus can go through that, amen, that motivates me when I'm experiencing my little bit of trouble, amen, that I want to have a pity party about and a temper tantrum. It gives me motivation to say, you know what, I think I can go through a little bit more. See, we want to have temper tantrums and pity parties when God don't do it when we said we wanted him to do it, and we put it on the timeline. See, what happens, saints, a lot of times is we ask God for stuff, but we give God a plan and a timeline. We got a 30-day plan and a 6-day plan, and we give it to God. And we say, well, okay, God bless it, break it, multiply it, and let it happen. But God, a lot of times, look at it and laughs and like, that is not, son, that is not my plan for you. I'm going to bring you out. But that's not how it's going to come to pass. Amen. And so we look at Jesus and we look at Job and we look at Joseph and we see how God kept them despite the trouble. And one thing about trouble, again, like I said, none of us like trouble. None of us want to deal with it. But God gives us trouble because trouble has a purpose. Jesus was in Gethsemane and he was ironically in a field where they crushed olives. And you can't get oil out the olive oil, out the olive, unless it be crushed. So God is something else, y'all. The Bible is so many layers to what God does. Jesus is literally being crushed. And he's in the Garden of Gethsemane where they have olives, where they crush olives. What he was saying and what he was displaying in that example is really what happens when you are pressed to do the will of God. Because notice, his flesh cried out and said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And for many of us, because of the trouble we're in, we're at a place where we're being crushed. The trouble is literally mentally crushing us. The anxiety level has gotten to a state of overwhelmingness where, that's not even a word, but we're going to make it a word, overwhelmingness, where it's always too much, where I'm ready to tap out. But I'm here to tell you, God has you in this place. He has you at that level of trouble. So God can crush you, so the oil can come out. There's an anointing that God wants to get through you. There's a purpose God has for you, but you can't get there without the crushing. And so that trouble brings out of you, amen, a position where you know more about God after you've gone through certain things. See, my in-laws can talk about how God can keep you when you lost somebody because they've lost several people. They can talk to you about that because they've experienced that and they've seen God give them peace and joy in a time of trouble. Amen. When you go through some things, amen, God will give you a different level of faith where when the next thing coming, I'm not nearly as afraid because I know that God can bring me out, because if he brought me through this, I know God can bring me through this. The trouble gives me is a level of confidence where I'm no longer intimidated about everything that comes my way, but I know that God is with me because I remember what he did last year. I remember how God kept me. Amen. I'm gonna go ahead and be personal right now. I remember how God kept my wife and my children when they were in a car where somebody was trying to carjack the car. And so now I have a different level of faith when I pray protection over my family, because I know God can keep them. If God kept them last year, amen, if God kept them from a mentally unstable individual, I know that God can keep them anymore. Does anybody understand what I'm trying to say? That God can keep you when you go through trouble. It gives you another level of confidence and faith in him. And had you not gone through it, you would not understand what God is yet able to do. And so that's the reason why the Bible say, think it not strange, the fiery trial is meant to try you. He said, think it not strange, the fiery trial that's meant to try you. In other words, it's not something strange. It's not something unusual. Amen. You belong to God. So he got to make sure your faith, because it says the trying of your faith. See, he's working on your faith, but he can't try your faith if you don't go through the trial. See, some of us want to be anointed, but we don't want to go through the trial. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to get what God has for you and operate at the purpose and the level, there's going to be a fiery trial. There's going to be something that's going to happen. There's going to be where your faith is going to be tested. But I'm here to tell you, think it not strange. Amen. You didn't do anything wrong. Actually, you're in the place where God wants you to be. Amen. I heard somebody say when the Hebrew boys were in that fiery furnace, they were experiencing perfect heat. Amen. That's heat where God where he got you right where he want you to be. Just imagine God as a proud father watching three Hebrew boys stand before King Nebuchadnezzar boldly and saying, King, we're not going to bow. Said, we're not even careful how we answer you, O king. They didn't give the king any acknowledgments. They didn't bow to the king. They said, we're not even careful how we answer you. They said, but our God is able, and even if he don't, we still not going to bow. I'm here to tell you, somebody got to get some three Hebrew boys confidence. Somebody need three Hebrew boys faith that regardless of how bad the trouble is, I don't care if they turn the furnace up seven times, we not gonna bow. But our God, amen, is able to deliver, and even if he don't, we still not gonna bow. Amen. I'm talking to some people that need to choose God. Amen. What are you choosing in the midst of your trouble? Amen. Are you choosing God, or are you choosing yourself? Are you choosing God, or are you choosing your job? I'm here to tell you, God will never leave you. I said he'll never leave you, nor will he forsake you. I don't care how bad it's gone. The deadline may have passed 6 months. Me and this brother can testify to that. Amen. We have lived together. Amen. Broke as broken be. Amen. We had a light bill that went 6 months past due. How many of you know we stayed faithful to a time and the lights never got cut off? Amen. I'm here to tell you, God is able to do it. But are you willing to give God trust? Are you willing to put your trust and the confidence in God? Are you willing, amen, to just give it all to the Lord? Because I'm here to tell you, he really is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ever ask. Ask or think. Ask or think is that's above whatever you can think. That's above your 30-day plan. That's above your 60-day plan. But God is yet able, amen, to bring you out. Is anybody in here willing to trust God today? Do I have anybody that's willing to give God praise in the midst of your trouble? Because the Bible says, amen, that he's a very present help in the time of trouble. So when you're going through your trouble, amen, the Bible says he's present help. He ain't past help, but he's right there in the midst of your trouble. Just like the three Hebrew boys, somebody said that somebody else was in the fire. They said, we see a fourth man walking like the Son of God, because God is a very present help in the time of trouble. Amen, that's how I can have my confidence, because I'm not going through this alone. Look at your neighbor and say, I ain't going through this alone, Sister Scott. I ain't alone, but I got the Lord with me. And even though the trouble may come, I got God with me. It may be a Goliath coming to run up against me, but I got the Lord on my side. So I don't have to worry about the trouble, because God is a very present help in the time of trouble. And even though I do go through trouble, amen, I got the Bible to encourage me that all things work together for good to them who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Do I got anybody in here that loves God? Do I got anybody in here that's called according to his purpose? So then I'm preaching to you that all things work together for good. The trouble, the good. Amen. It's all working together for an ultimate purpose that God wants to do through your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. Amen. Regardless of what you might be going through, I'm here to tell you God is able to bring you out. Don't let that trouble get you down in the press. You know what the devil wants? The devil wants you down in the press. But sometimes what you got to do to make sure the Lord is a present help. Amen. The Bible says, it talks about that he inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Sometimes I got to bring the Lord in my situation, and I might just have to give God a praise. Amen. One thing about this lady right here. I have seen her give God a praise. Amen. In the midst of tragedy, in the midst of stuff, I have seen her lift her hands and give God praise. Amen. It's not that ain't the time to have a pity party, but that's the time to go ahead and give God a hallelujah. Go ahead and give God a glory to your name. Go ahead and lift your hands. Amen. You might be at the Kroger, but that might be the time. You know what? I got some bad news, but God, you are worthy of the praise. God, you are worthy of the thanksgiving. Lord, you are worthy of the exaltation. And Lord, I'm going to bless you. Hallelujah. Despite what I may be seeing. Hallelujah. 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 Trouble. Amen. Trouble comes. Amen. Look at somebody and say, trouble might be coming, but I got God on my side. Hallelujah. I got God with me. Amen. He won't leave me. He won't forsake me. Amen. So we thank God. Amen. Because he's such a good God. Amen. I want to just encourage everybody here tonight that regardless of what you might be dealing with, God's able to bring you out. And for some of us, we've taken it so personal to where we feel like we're totally out of the will of God and something wrong with me. But I'm here to tell you, there's nothing wrong with you. But God is doing something through you. You have a unique purpose that this particular level of trouble is molding you and shaping you for. My other brother preached about the cocoon last week. And some of you in your cocoon stage. You're in a cocoon and God is shaping you in what you need to be, but you couldn't be in a soft cocoon because you got to have some strength of your wings to come out of that cocoon. But some of us are complaining, Lord, my cocoon is too hard. But you don't realize is the more you try to get out of that cocoon, the stronger those wings are going to be when you come out like a butterfly. What am I doing? I am here encouraging. I'm here to bring encouragement to somebody who's dealing with trouble. I'm here to tell you, listen, God can bring you out. I'm here to tell you, listen, don't get down and depressed. I know the world wants you to be down and depressed. The world wants you down, depressed, and medicated. Because once you take the first medication, then you got to take the other medication to deal with the side effects to the other medication. And then you take it long enough, then you develop another something as you get some moment. But I'm here to tell you, listen, you know the best medication for what you're dealing with? The Lord. The Lord Almighty. Oh, God. Sometimes God allows us to go through things. You know what he's saying? He's like, I just want time. I just want you. I just want you. I just want to spend some time with you. I want to be with you. I want to know you. But then sometimes it goes back to what I was saying. God is molding you for this ultimate purpose. And God has a purpose for you. Amen. God has a purpose for this ministry. Bread of Heaven, I don't know what God has for you, but I know God has something spectacular. Amen. There is another level. And I don't know what that is, amen, but only God knows, amen. The things that y'all have been through were to prepare you for that next level. Hallelujah. And I'll be honest, I'm excited to see what God is doing. I like to see what God is doing all across the city in the different vineyards. Why? Because for me, that's another soul that's been added to the kingdom. So we're going through so that God can make us so that we can minister so that souls can be added to the kingdom. We had a soul today. Go down in Jesus' name. That's another one added to the kingdom. So if I went through so that I could do whatever I needed to do for this soul to come through, was it not worth it? It was worth it. It was worth it. And so I'm just here to encourage y'all tonight. Amen. God has been so awesome. He's been so good. Amen. I don't have enough time to testify about how good God has been in my individual life. Even the way that Sister Rhea and I even got together was the Lord. Seriously, like some of y'all might not even know how this happened, but my grandfather was a pastor and I was a young adolescent. And the way my grandfather would talk to me, you know, he would just be like, hey, son, hey, your flesh bothering you? That's how he would talk to me. He said, man, just ask God, pray God send you a wife. I didn't believe him. I did, and God did. I met somebody. But what God was doing wasn't so much of that was part of it, but when I met her, that's how I ended up getting saved. Similar to what my father-in-law stated. Bria had asked me, he's like, you been baptized in Jesus' name? I didn't know the difference. You been baptized in Jesus' name? Oh, yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, yeah, sure, we can go to church. Let's go to church. I didn't know it was a difference. And so I thank God. I remember meeting Rhea, and I remember, and I'm closing, but I remember, Rhea, you were doing a play, and that was the first time I met your parents. And I don't think we formally met, but I saw them kind of in the background. And they were walked in, and that goes back to what I was saying. I promise y'all, they look young. They still look like they look when I remember. But I just thank God for just how God allowed the whole thing to come through. I can't talk enough to testify about how good God has been. Amen. God has been good. Have I experienced trouble? Absolutely. All right. I've experienced different things. Amen. Myself and Eric DeComen, we lived together for several years. We've experienced some things that, you know, me and him can talk about for a long time. But one thing we can say, though, at the end of the day, God never left us. He never forsook us. Broke times, plenty, and times of grief, and times of trouble, and times of whatever, God was always that constant that was there. And so if you're that person that's struggling, and even, and you know, sometimes we say that in a way that is speaking to people that, you know, may or may not know the Lord. This is even people, you know the Lord. But you know what happens? You know the Lord, sometimes we get weary. We get weary. We've been encouraging everybody else, and we've been praying for everybody else and interceding for everybody else, and we're doing this, we're operating here, we're doing this, and then when it comes time for me, you're like, well, who's encouraging me? I bless this person, but who's there for me? And it's, I'm here to tell you, God is there for you. Despite the trouble. So when trouble comes, choose the Lord. Amen. Don't go the other direction, because that outcome is not going to be good. But choose the Lord. Stay on the Lord's side and watch what the Lord will do. Amen. Amen. Amen.